Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and we are going to be diving into the part two episode of This Is How You Scale. And I have a very special guest on, Tony Stancato. He's from Southwest Michigan, good friend of mine. His story is really, really interesting because from my viewpoint, he scaled really quickly and he's got a couple different businesses. And it all started from one single family home, short-term rental or Airbnb. And he's all the way got, he's managing over 30 units right now for property management. And he has, I think, like three or four properties he owns on top of just got a boutique hotel and just launched it. And it's awesome. And so I'm really excited for you guys to listen to, more importantly, how he went from one business to another and how his secret tips on operations and scaling. So without further ado, Tony, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Live in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Been married 16 years, have three boys, 2 8-year-olds and a 6-year-old. So it's always a wild household. So been in vacation rentals for 4 years, got started in 2021, bought our first property. And when we got started, you know, we really said, hey, if we can make $500 a night on this property, we'd be to the moon. And thank God for dynamic pricing, right? You connect that. I mean, took it to an extreme level where we're like, there's no way it's going to get that. So we ended up getting close to like 1650 and we're like, wow, we didn't even know really of this area when we got started. So we decided to buy another one in that area. And, you know, then clients started asking if we could help represent them and help find properties for them. And then they started asking if we could manage for them. So now we have Book and Gather, the property management company, primarily Southwest Michigan, managed 30 doors, just bought a boutique motel in Grayling, Michigan, which is a little bit outside of our comfort zone in the area, but you did come on our podcast and gave us the green light. So,
so if it doesn't work out, it's all my fault. Got it.
All your fault, Kenny. All your fault. So
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then really just, again, my wife sent that first property and we were just like, where the heck is this? I had no idea where it was. Turns out it was only an hour away, but really fell in love with Southwest Michigan, proximity to Chicago, just really great area. And the nightly rates are just incredible.
So one thing I didn't know about you that you said that is actually, I have a burning question for you because I've seen this has come up before. So you're from Kalamazoo. All right. So for those listening, Kalamazoo is like Southwest Michigan, inland, north of like South Bend, Indiana. That's about all the geographical coordinates I can give you, but like that's where he's at, or where you're from, or whatever. What are the regulations like in Kalamazoo for short-term rentals?
You know, honestly, we don't do any here. So I have had a client that said they called and gave him kind of the runaround, and he's like, "Ah, I'm just going to do it anyway." So he bought one and did it, even though it sounded like it probably wasn't necessarily allowed. I think they're not allowed. But you'll still find them here, but I don't think they necessarily regulate. Again, it's not an area that we are really looking to rent out. So couldn't really go into detail on that.
Okay. All right, cool. I'd seen a couple of properties, but I wasn't sure. But it sounds like though it's not really a good, probably just an area in general to SCR in. So just in terms of traffic.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think midterms, if you were into doing midterms, it would probably be a great area. We have Stryker, who has like 40,000 employees across the nation, but I think headquarters is right here. We have Pfizer, Zoetic, Zoetis. So a lot of big medical companies kind of in the area that could bring in a lot of midterm renters.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So cool. That was just really random. And you said it and I was like, I got to ask this guy before I forget. So, so all right. We are a couple things. You got into SCRs 4 years ago. You're now managing, you told me, over 30 units.
30, bringing on six more. So yeah.
Six more. Wow. In just 4 years. Okay. And then you've owned, I think you said you have three right now with the boutique hotel, but then you've owned four or five or something, you know, you literally scale. in multiple ways, like from houses to boutique hotels to property management and units and things like that. And so that's what I want to dive into today, is how you did that. And especially in just like a 4-year time period, I think that's really interesting too. We need the secrets here, Tony. Anyway, let's start out with that first property you were mentioning earlier that you had gotten. But more importantly, obviously that was successful. So how did you get to number two and then kind of start growing and going from there?
Yeah. So everything I do is involved with some business partners as well. So me and Jordan Painter bought that first one. Technically, four of us went out. It was me and my wife, him and his wife. Three out of the four said yes. I was the one that said, I don't want to buy it, but went with it anyway. And so we bought that one. And just, again, once we seen how much it was generating, we were like, hey, if it can make 500, that'd be amazing. And it was getting upwards of 1650 a night. And we're talking like an old 1930s, 4-bed, 2-bath farmhouse with like bad laminate flooring and, you know, ugly painted cabinets. So we were just like, dude, this is like an awesome area. The property wasn't amazing, but it had some cool amenities. So then at that point, we're like, all right, we want another one. So we actually reached out to another friend of ours and asked if he wanted to go in on another one. So then we partnered up with him, and then he came on board. We formed the management company. So it was partnering really helped us kind of scale on the acquisition side. And then in terms of building out the property management company, obviously we all brought money to the table that helped with that as well.
Okay, that's huge. And I think a lot of people are afraid to partner. I mean, that's something we could jump into here too. But first off, where did you meet your partner and how did your partner decide to do business with you?
Yeah. So technically, we've probably all been friends. We met at church probably 12 years ago. And then, so we knew of each other. We weren't like necessarily like close friends at that time. Me and Gary were, but then Jordan Cold solicited me to sell my house for me on Facebook Messenger. And then from that point, you know, we're just driving around looking for the next house to buy as a personal resident. So we spent a lot of time there and just became good friends and ended up becoming a neighbor of his down the road. So, you know, went from being friends to being neighbors and friends, and then, you know, neighbors, friends, business partners.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And did he already have short-term rentals as well, or he was completely new?
So he has a brokerage. So he's been in real estate for 10 plus years. He was not in that, but it was like me and him would always meet. You know, I lived directly across the street from him. So we would constantly be talking about, I think we heard Avery Carl on Bigger Pockets, and we're like, this sounds amazing. You know, like, I mean, it sounds awesome. So we just started talking about it. And, you know, initially we're like, hey, we want to go to Florida, Gatlinburg, kind of where everybody wants to buy. And we just couldn't make sense of it. So we were like, hey, let's figure out a way to cut our teeth in our own backyard here. And again, stumbled across this place in Southwest Michigan.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So as you got, so in this is your partner that we were on the podcast, right?
Correct.
The podcast. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So you guys, I mean, and you guys tackled this boutique hotel together too. So
yeah,
that's really cool. But it sounds like though that you brought maybe some experience from the short-term rental side, and he brought probably the money and some other assets at least to the deal so you guys could partner together. I think that's really important from my experience. As you learn and get experience doing with one or even two properties, there's people who come out of the works and learn that, hey, this person's doing it. I want to do it, but I've got the money. I just don't know how. And I think that's a good opportunity for folks to kind of, you know, say, hey, well, I can help you. I might not have the money, but I have the skills. And so what type of advice or like suggestions would you give? Because that's where a lot of our listeners are. You know, they're at like the 0 to maybe 5 properties max, and they're wondering how they can scale and acquire more properties. They might not have the capital to do so. How does someone go about, from your experience, would you recommend people like try to find partners that they can work with?
Yeah, I think for us too, it was kind of, he really came with a good background in like a network. So he had a lot of people already in his network, being in real estate for so long. And I mean, he's really successful in real estate. So when it comes to, we start talking about it, people then want to buy properties with him, with us, and have us manage them. And then I kind of brought the operation side, honestly. So we did bring equal capital, But I brought the operations. I come from a manufacturing world, lean manufacturing. So spent 15 years in there. So he would be the, hey, you know, like Jordan will say yes to pretty much any deal, any opportunity, honestly. And he's like, but he's going to leave it to me to figure out, you know, how to, you know, get it in operation. I think the biggest thing, if you're looking to scale, is again, every time you go out and you do something, talk about what you, you know, if you love it, talk about it. And you never know who you're going to bump into that wants to partner with you. We know plenty of people that all they do, they make really good money, but they won't, all they'll do is the sweat equity. And so they work with a lot of doctors and that kind of stuff. Doctors will bring all the cash, but they're not going to touch a thing. And then they bring you all the sweat equity. So, you know, bring your track record, talk about it, and you just never know. And again, I was at the short-term rental wealth conference. And it was actually the year that I think you were on stage and said the best place to invest in the nation was in Michigan. You didn't tell us where, so I had to track you down afterwards. And
yeah, I remember that. I remember somebody asked. Yeah, that was just
like, yeah, and find out where. Okay, where are you talking about? I think you were talking about Mears, Michigan, Silver Lake area. But even at that conference,
Kalamazoo. I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah. Even at that conference, it's like, hey, I didn't go in with an agenda or anything like that. Yeah. You just start talking to people, and you know, shortly after that, we found an opportunity. We called a couple people that we met at the conference and said, hey, we have to buy this deal cash. And I mean, it was like each, you know, half would have to bring in a couple hundred, and they're like, oh yeah, sure. Like hardly knew us, but they were in. You know, so you just never know. You got to get out there. You got to network. You got to talk about what you're doing. And just be, if you're excited about it, like share that excitement. I mean, people like jumping into the space. It's a sexy space. I mean, a lot of times if it's long-term rentals, one of, you know, let's say if there's a spouse, you know, there's a couple, usually one doesn't like the long-term rentals. The other one loves it. But like, this is one where it's like, everybody gets excited because there's a design aspect, an operations aspect, a money aspect. So,
and frankly, that's why there's so many freaking gurus in our space, you know, because it's like with social media nowadays, it's not about who, you know, it's about who knows you on Instagram. Yeah. you know. So yeah. But in all seriousness though, if I've got one, maybe two properties and I'm thinking about scaling, you need to be sharing, like you said, I love that. Share your successes publicly. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's like, hey, wow, like look what we just did to this property. You know, look at the transformation. And you probably should be doing that anyway to promote, you know, bookings and things like that, because we're hospitality and like that's part of the journey of this business. But people are watching, and just share the successes, and people are going to come out and be like, how are you doing it? And I've been, you know, if you have, well, I've got this property, let's do it together. It starts to happen. So.
And I think there's a lot of opportunities to kind of carve out your niche within the space itself, right? I mean, you see a lot of people, you know, like David Graeber doing the, you know, he's building them on the lake and, you know, those look awesome. Isaac French, right? Or Isaac doing those out in Texas. I mean, that's a nice little niche. And then we're here in Southwest Michigan and nobody's talking about, you know, Southwest Michigan at the time. So, and now we're moving into kind of the multi-unit space. So really trying to find where other people aren't necessarily playing either. I mean, a lot of people are in that 2 to 4 bedroom space, you know, 2 to 4 bedroom, 3 bath. And then, you know, we're moving into more multi-unit and you can scale a little bit faster at that because there's not as much competition.
Sure. I love that. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. So your journey, so as you started a partner, you scaled. So where did the property management company come into play? Like when?
Yeah. So honestly, we started in 2021 buying our own. 2022, we started the property management company. We had a couple clients that were interested, already had properties or had us looking for properties that once we found them, they wanted us to manage. So 2022, we started that. And that's when I think pretty quickly we were up to 5 or 6. And then really, I mean, the game changer in the property management company was getting the right operations. I did say, I'm like, I can get the operations started, but you know, long-term operations, not really my strong suit or what I enjoy doing. So last year we brought on a really strong operations guy. And I mean, just hockey stick growth after he can take care of most of that. You know, I'm still in it a little bit, but then I can focus on sales and marketing. And just over the last 6 months, I mean, it's just been crazy.
That's awesome. Okay. So what, you know, with our listeners in mind, as they're planning to scale, wanting to scale, whether it's with, some want to do co-hosting, you know, they want to take on additional properties, which is essentially leads to creating like, I don't know, we call it boutique property management. You know, that's pretty much what co-hosting is, right? In a way. But how does someone get the right operations in place before they just take on a bunch of properties? Like, what do they need to do based on your experience?
So I would say the biggest thing is, obviously, we were pretty slow on the front end, which allowed us to really figure out a lot of the kinks and work a lot of that stuff out. Like, if you're trying to go from zero to 50, there's going to be a lot of learning going on pretty quickly. But then I also think, again, from day one, we were joining groups like Bill Faith's, going to the conferences, getting kind of best practices, connecting with people that are, you know, not way ahead of us, but are, have 10, 15 more properties than you do, and see how they're doing it and how they're, you know, how they're succeeding. So really, it's connecting with people that are already where you're looking to go. Maybe not all the way, but partially of the way there.
Gotcha. Okay. So following, surrounding yourself with the right individuals and communities that have done it to learn. Okay. Any tips or advice on that front for aspiring property managers?
We interviewed Steve Trover, and he always said, you know, he tries to talk people out of it. I mean, you got to love it. And I really appreciate that, especially because it's like, sometimes if you're just in the Instagram world and, you know, LinkedIn, it seems sexy, but you got to remember, I mean, it's a 24/7 gig, and there's all, it's, I do think it's like a high risk business too. Right. So, I mean, you have 30 properties, right? There's five people in each one of those, and it can be tough. So be ready for a challenge. And you got to be ready to experience some trials along the way. So if you think it's all going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies, it definitely won't. And you'll experience a little bit of pain along the way. So.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. I 100% agree with that and believe it. I definitely would not want to do that. So I do not want to be a property. I don't want to do the operations. I'm like a find it, underwrite it, and then next person, whoever's next, come in and take it, you know? So designer, I don't know.
Yeah. The funny thing about the biz too, is like, I just had somebody reach out the other day. They were experiencing, you know, something going on at their property. How would you handle it? This and that. And, you know, obviously it wasn't a great situation, and it's just like, you know, everything's going to be okay, but I just know what it's like, especially if it's the first time that that's happening, you know, what you're feeling, and you're like, it's just a down day that day. Right. And it's a lot of the things that happen in this business. So you know, a year from now, you look back and you know, they just make a good story, I guess, whether it's the guest, you know, destroying your house, you know, or doing something where it's just like at the time you're like, man, this is sucks. And then a year from now, you're like, that makes for a good story. So
with the property management, now you've got your properties, property management. And then I guess follow up to that, it popped in my head earlier. How are you picking up property management clients?
So we actually interviewed Patrick Switek last year, just dropped absolute gold on how to do that and took a lot of that to heart. I mean, really the big thing on that, I would say, is building out your referral network. And a lot of that's going to come down to people, you know, the homeowners that already use you or other real estate agents. Even though we are real estate agents too, you might think, oh, that's competition, they're not going to do that. Some of our best referrals have been from real estate agents. And I think in the last 6 months, we've probably got five clients just from two agents down here. So the more that we can build that out, you know, the faster we can grow. And I'm not going to lie, cleaners also, like one of our cleaners has referred a few clients from other people.
So, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. But that's a really interesting one, you know, where you're like, hey, you know, you could do all of it. We call it guerrilla warfare. Where you're like, hey, which properties are kind of, you know, slacking and need some stuff to it? And the cleaners know, you know, they know, oh yeah, this one's rough. And, you know, they're not taking good care of the property. And then you have the inside track.
Yeah. Actually, that one cleaner, she referred three clients that came on board, but then one of those clients referred another one. So, I mean, you could say four came directly from that one cleaner in the last 6 months.
That's awesome. That's great. That's cool. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, so for those of you who are aspiring to co-host or property manage, I think like you said, it all goes back to like letting people know what you do, you know, and you're looking for more business and that can help them as well. And, you know, because your cleaner probably can take the, or she's already doing them, you know, so.
And I would say the other thing is you gotta, if you already have some, you have to get a success story, right?
Yeah.
Nothing makes the sales process easier than if you have a great success story. So a lot of times we'll have people that are coming to us, they're looking to switch from a different property management client. Well, we just brought one on in October, end of October, they had two condos. They came to us, they said, we haven't got bookings in months. Literally like 3 months, they haven't got a booking. Summer was very sparse. And I mean, it's in a great location. So we brought them on. Opening day was kind of November 8th, I think, that first weekend, right? And from there, we've already got 400 nights booked, close to 400 nights booked at their two condos. And they went from, so now when I'm talking to future clients, what story do you think I tell? And like, literally, we were just on the phone call yesterday, guys looking to switch from one property manager to us. And he's like, you know, when I say that story, and he's like, I'm not feeling like I'm getting the bookings that I want. And I say, hey, I got an example of a client that had zero bookings and we went to having 400. I mean, it's a no brainer, right? So you gotta build your track record and you gotta have a story that, you know, obviously is true, but that you can go in and present to future clients. And it just makes it so much easier.
Okay, cool. All right. With that, you're going in and just, you know, if we're looking at your timeline the last 4 years, so as you're partnering, you guys are buying, assuming you bought that first, you bought it was a fiveplex, sixplex, or six units, or what? I don't know. Tell us more about that and that decision to go from like single family homes to something a little bit different.
Yeah. So first one was a 4-2, second one was a 2-1, and then our third one was a 5-unit, 10-bed, 6-baths. And, you know, this actually was our first arbitrage play where my wife was like, hey, check out this property. It's right in our area. It was literally a block away from our first Airbnb, right? And she's like, oh, we gotta get that. You should see if you can buy that entire unit. So we talked to the guy, hey, would you be interested in selling? Wasn't on the market. He wasn't at that time. So he said, well, you can maybe arbitrage it or whatever. But for some reason that didn't work out. So I just followed up with them quarter after quarter. And then finally, I actually had it on my task list that day to follow up with him. And he called me and said, hey, are you guys still interested? So ended up getting that. But what we found, and so we ended up doing another multi-unit after that. And that was where we partnered with the people from Build STR Wealth Conference. But what we found is like multi-unit properties aren't going for as much of a premium. Here, it's like, if it's a single family house, you know, if it's one of those sexy Airbnbs, it's like everybody's going to go after it. Price is going to go way up. Nobody's looking at the multi-unit. And what we like about multi-unit is the versatility. So we love renting it out to big groups. For summertime, perfect world, it's only booked up by big groups. It's self, you know, they self-regulate. Nobody's like calling saying somebody's being loud or anything like that. And then you're also in this other, you know, when you're looking for a property that hosts 30 people, it's hard to find, you know, a lot of properties. So now all of a sudden, we don't even have to be like amazing because we're one of 10 properties available. And so it's so much easier to just get bookings and get high revenue. And it's not that they're paying one, you know, they're not paying the price of each unit combined. They're paying almost 1.5 to 2 times the unit for the combined property. So went with that. And then again, we loved that so much that we're like, hey, let's do that with kind of the boutique motel. So now we're in the process of trying to prove that out with the boutique motel space too.
Sure. Wow. So, okay. I really like that. I think that, you know, that shows like, so it's an evolution, right? It's an evolution of like going back when a lot of people get started, they envision themselves, you know, like I hear, you know, different, like, I don't want to call it, like, I'm not trying to pick on any like things I hear, but for example, Bill Faith's got his 550, 250 plan, you know, 5 houses, $50,000 each and, you know, cash flow per year to get you 250 and it takes, you know, 5 years. It's great. A lot of people see that and they go like, okay, I'm going to buy 5 of the same exact houses, maybe in the same market even. You know, I see like a really narrow approach to that, but that's not really what he's trying to say, you know? And I think it's the same thing here. As you grow and scale, you actually like, it's an evolution of what you're doing. You know, it's like, well, shoot, this worked out. and I'm seeing someone else do this, or maybe I want to take a little bit more risk and do something bigger and better, you know? And then as you're getting here, we're like, well, heck, we did that. That worked out. Let's do it, you know, bigger this time. And so, and I think people need to understand that it's not like the exact same thing every single time. You will literally grow, and you shouldn't be shooting for the same thing. You should be trying to push it and do better. What can I do better, you know, bigger and a better return or whatever. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. And I would say one of the big things too, is like, sometimes you just gotta have an idea and go with it. Me, Jordan, Gary, we're all kind of like, if we think it's a good idea, we're going to give it a shot. Right. And same with that multi-unit property. You know, I think before we even got into it, we're like, oh, we're going to rent each individual unit. But I mean, renting out the whole thing has been huge. And what we found is like, it's a very versatile asset, because in this area, when you have a big, let's say I had a 10 bed, 6 bath, single family home in the off season, there's going to be a lot of open days. But when it's the off season with this property, now I'm chunking it down into 2 bed, 1 bath, 1 bed, 1 bath. And we have plenty of opportunities. Right now, every single unit is booked for midterm rentals. That's the other thing I would say about this area that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, is like nuclear plants, man. I mean, I love nuclear plants. There's a nuclear plant in this area. Once a year, they shut down and they have to bring in 500 contractors, and everybody needs housing in these small, small areas. So for this asset, it's like perfect, because we're housing 5 groups of contractors for that. And they're fantastic. They've been fantastic. So in the off season, they're coming and filling that space.
Yeah, I love it. That's a really good point. So you're like getting creative, not just relying solely on expecting short-term rentals in the off season, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Okay. So let's transition over to the last one. So you've done this multi-unit. Now you just went out and bought it was 8 units, right? For the boutique hotel?
8 units and a manager's quarters that were turning into a rentable space.
All right. So I like what you said earlier. I kind of been under the same mentality recently too, where it's like, if you have this idea, go for it. You know, it's sometimes we just have this limited mindset. So how did you get onto the boutique hotel idea? Where did that come from? What stirred that motivation to take that on?
Yeah, honestly, it was that South Haven project and the 5 unit, but we had 4 cabins in South Haven. Similar price point to what we bought the boutique motel for. And I mean, what we projected and what it ended up doing was just phenomenal. And again, it's that whole property buyout. And so we're like, well, that's interesting. We can't find a lot of those, but there are boutique motels on the market. And where else can I get, you know, 9 bedrooms and 10 baths at that price other than a boutique? So if we can take it and prove it out with booking up the entire property, then we'll continue to do that. And it's one of those things where it's like, those types of assets got to be the hardest, because we bought it from someone that was like living on site, they're self-managing, that kind of stuff. It's too small to have somebody like full-time there. So it's either you're going to be managing it. The way that I think it would work the best is running it out to big groups. So I do think that's probably the best use for that asset. So again, just trying to prove out the thesis there and see how it goes. So we're almost there. We have one room to go and a couple things on the exterior, but it's coming along.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've noticed, I guess my sphere of influence has been focused on recently, just hear it over and over again, is like buying businesses, like current businesses, not like starting a new business. Like, I don't know, maybe it's like a fad or something like a go where it's like, I need a startup, you know, and like, boom. But like, it's really, really hard, you know? Whereas like, it's easier, especially if you understand the operations of something, to take something that's like really poorly managed, buy it for under value because you know what the potential value can be based on experience, and then throw your operations and stuff. It's like the wealth transfer from like the boomer generation who's retiring and, you know, dying off, it to the other generations. It's happening now. I mean, it's like trillions of dollars or something like that. And all these different types of industries where, especially the hospitality, where you've got these motels, hotels, single family homes, even, or multi-units, where I think of, like, for example, I bought a bed and breakfast from an old, you know, boomer couple. And, you know, they were running it like they had 7 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, and they were running it every single bedroom, like lock and, you know, key for each one. And I'm like, you know, let me turn this into just a short-term rental single family home for large groups. And it's making more than they made as a, you know, a bed and breakfast. And I don't have to do it anything, you know, like I don't have to be there like that. They were cooking breakfast every morning. They're like, we're tired of it. You know, like the lady's like, I'm so tired of like cooking people breakfast all the time. And I'm like, I wouldn't do that, you know? And so bringing in that like operational and the, just the, like the new mindset of today's generation or generations, I think is really like what we should be taking advantage of. You know what I mean? In terms of like growth. So, yeah.
And if that was a 7-bed, 7-bath, I don't know exactly where it's at, but I'm assuming you got a bit of a discount because they were selling it as, you know, a bed and breakfast versus, you know, single family home.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, I mean, they were, man, they were so ready to get out of it, you know? And so when I came to the table, and the problem is people couldn't get over the fact that it was a bed and breakfast and not just a single family home to buy as a short-term rental. So they weren't getting any offers. The realtor was like, yeah, like no one's like coming, but they're buying all these like vacation rentals. And I'm like, it is a vacation rental. It's just a bed and breakfast sign on the front, you know, take off the sign.
And it's probably that.
And boom, like stop giving people breakfast.
And from a zoning perspective, I would imagine you got a much better zoning than your typical single family home.
Yeah, it was a lot easier to get the permitting and stuff for it, you know? And they did have some connections in the local town there too. So they were like, look, we really want to get rid of this thing. Whatever you need to do to get rid of it, we will help push things through and get the stuff. So it worked out. But I see those all the time, especially in some of these more established markets across the country. And there's a huge opportunity there. And one of the things are the number of bathrooms, man. Like you can't, like if you were to buy a 7-bedroom, you'd probably like a new single family be like maybe 5, 5.5 bathrooms, maybe 6, like a brand new construction, maybe 6 full baths if you're lucky. But 7, 7, like no, that's not going to happen. And so when these large groups comes, they love that because they can all take a shower, you know, like all 14 people, you know, like at the same time, and it's got 2 hot water tanks and everything. But anyway, I digress on that. But yeah.
The crazy thing about this one too is like they were doing really, like I would say for what it was, I mean, if I showed you the pictures, you'd be like, dude, like who's staying there, right? But they were doing pretty well, and they were only on direct bookings and the Visitors Bureau. They were not on booking.com, Expedia, Airbnb, nothing like that. All of it basically direct booking, and they were doing pretty good. And we're like, dude, if they're doing that without using like any modern like technology and the photos look the way they are, I mean, if we can't at least 2.5x that, I mean, yeah, what are we doing?
No, I've seen that in multiple businesses where it's like, you just bring in a level of technology and being on more listing sites and things like that. Like the boutique hotel that we're looking at, you know, they're still using keys, the lock and keys. Got to go to the front desk to get your car, you know, to check in. And they have to have someone there 24/7 staff to be able to get people keys at night. And I'm like, let's just get codes, key codes, you know? And if there's something happens, we got emergency line or something, but like, we don't need all these like, you know, antiquated ways to be successful and automate and even push revenue. So.
And so on this one too, what we did, I mean, their design again, it was tired. So we went in, I mean, gave it some fresh design. I think we've seen a couple of the, couple of the photos. I mean, just really bold wallpaper choices in each room. They're all different, but then it sat on 3.5 acres too. And in this area, there's really not any amenity rich type properties. You can find a few Airbnbs, but when it comes to motels and that kind of stuff, you're not going to find these types of amenities. So we ended up putting in a pickleball court, honestly, absolute favorite amenity. I mean, I would have one in every property I have. I mean, I just think that those are home runs. So, and not a lot of people have them yet, at least in the Michigan area. So put that in, got a sauna, a barrel sauna, and then also a hot tub. So it's going to be a one of one in the area. And again, we got it at a relatively deep discount, in my opinion. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, cool. As we're kind of wrapping up here, what any final thoughts on like advice for people on scaling and whether they want to do property management or just buying more houses or even buying boutique hotels and going on that level, multi-units, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I would say build a business, right? Because a lot of the a lot of the wealth you can create for yourself is going to be in the business side of it. Mm-hmm. So whether that's property management, like build a property management company that is sellable, not that you have to build it to sell, but along with cash flow that you're going to be getting along the way, you're going to have a sellable asset. Same with a motel. Like I'm big on like, make sure you have skin in the game and it's something that you can sell at a certain point, because that's where you're going to really make some of that wealth.
That appreciation. I love that. I opened up another can of worms, but I see way too many people focus on the cash flow side. Like they buy at the top of the market, then they stack like hundreds of thousands of dollars on design decor and amenities. And it's purely a cash flow play. Meaning like if they don't make money on this property and there's something that happens, they have to sell and exit, they're going to lose money, like a ton of money. And that's risky. You know, I mean, we've seen, it's crazy. Like, I was talking to some investors in Asheville, North Carolina, and they're like, yeah, like we never expected a hurricane to come up to Asheville and like flood the entire place and wipe it out. Like that was like totally unexpected, you know? And I was talking to some people in like Kentucky right now, and they're dealing with like snow and freezing, just like abnormal, like weather patterns and things. It's like, this can happen in places where you just, you know, I hear it all the time. Like the people who don't want to buy in Florida, they say, which whatever, but they say like, I want to stay away from hurricane areas, or I don't want to invest in certain areas for forest fire threats, but this stuff is happening all over. And so we got to mitigate our risk by buying right. Because really what you said, we make most of our money actually on the exit from that appreciation. So.
Yeah. And on the, you know, natural disasters thing, I mean, that's so true. Literally a year ago, we had a tornado come right through like my little subdivision here and just destroyed probably 2,000, 3,000 trees, just all got knocked down. And it's not, we're not really in a tornado area. So you just really never know when or where it's going to happen. So it got to plan on, it could happen, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, just having like multiple exit strategies, I think is important. Obviously you can't plan for everything and that's not what we're saying, but just protect yourself more than one way. That's funny though. We had a tornado last year in Buffalo, came down like in the middle of the city. It was wild. They caught it on camera, like from the downtown city center or whatever. And it's like, literally you see it spin and just come down and touch down and just start throwing cars and stuff. And thankfully it was like quick, but it was like a E2 or F2, whatever the letter is they give it. But it was like pretty powerful and flipped a bunch of cars and tore off some roofs. And that was like in the city, you know? And I'm like, Buffalo's not a place where you get tornadoes. So
like literally we had one too at a property that we manage. I don't know if it was confirmed tornado, huge, like super strong winds, 20 trees went down, landed on the guest car, you know, I mean, so.
Yeah, that pretty much tornado. Yeah. So that's crazy. Cool.
But I will say Michigan too is kind of an untapped market. I still feel like Bill Faith doesn't own one here yet. I don't know why. I feel like somebody of his level, if he came into these markets, I mean, again, I feel like we're 5 to 10 years behind like a Gatlinburg or Florida in terms of design and amenities and that kind of stuff. And there's huge demand. I mean, again, the market we're in is 90 minutes from the third biggest city in the United States. And almost 65% of our travelers are all coming from Chicago and they pay a little bit of a premium. I mean, we literally just got our biggest booking ever, like 5 minutes before we jumped on this call. And it's like mind blowing what people pay to come here, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, it is. It really is. And I think there are so many of these markets out there, you know, I'm a 3 to 4 hour drive from New York City, you know, one of my markets. And there's a lot of these, like, I talk to people all the time. I'm like, look at these population centers and look, where do they go? Where do they drive when they want to get away? Like, sure, they could fly places and they do. But like when they just want to stay local, you know, like, where do they go? You'll find some markets like that. So,
and I even think in a downturn market, it's like they're going to opt out of, you know, flying somewhere else and they're going to staycation and it's going to be just as good even on those slower economic times. So,
I agree. That is true. Yeah, because they won't travel. So, and I love that. Well, Tony, thank you so much for being on the show. Can you tell us what are ways that people can get in touch with you or listen to your podcast or I know you throw the Michigan, if people are listening, there are people listening from Michigan. So you have an event as well. So yeah, go ahead. Tell us about all that.
Yeah, absolutely. The best place to connect with me is on LinkedIn, Tony Stancato. I'm pretty sure I'll be the only one on there. We have a podcast, Michigan Short-Term Rentals. And then also we have an event coming up. It'll be our second event. Did one last year, went really well. And the next one is May 1st and 2nd, downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan STR Conference. And if you're interested in getting a ticket, we have right around 40 left. So you'll want to grab one of those, but you can go to MichiganSTRConference.com and pick one of those up.
Awesome. All right. That's great stuff. So if you're interested in investing in Southwest Michigan, people listening, so tell us the markets you cover in Southwest Michigan.
Yeah. So if you're on the map, go to Lake Michigan, and we're going to be from Saugatuck all the way down to New Buffalo.
So if you do the mix,
on the hand.
On the hand. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. I love that. So Saugatuck and South Haven as well.
Yep. So South Haven is between there, and then St. Joe, Stevensville. Stevensville is like this really under the radar market. And we probably manage, between what we manage and own, is probably like 15 units just in that small town. So
awesome. Awesome. That's really cool. Well, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate you being on the show. So.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, cool. And thank you everybody for listening. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of Cashflow Positive.